Thank you. In the name of God, democracy, and peace, dear friends, let me convey to you all the warmest greetings from my sisters in Afghanistan. I would like to express my heartfelt thanks to Afghan Women Mission, especially dear Sonali and Jim, for invitation and for giving me the opportunity to talk about the situation in Afghanistan. I would also like to convey my warm greetings to my Afghan brothers and sisters in the audience. Honorable friends, Afghanistan after 11 September 2001 is a country which apparently has constitution, has gone through democratic reform, and women's activism has been promoted. But let me tell you about a different image of the same country. I come from a land where the reality is not what you might be aware of through media. And you might expect me to talk about the so-called recent developments. I come from a land where still burning in twofold fire. On one hand, there are the brutal and horrific jihadi fundamentalists of Northern Alliance who are supported by the USA. On the other hand, there are Taliban and Al-Qaeda terrorists who have the support of the all-fundamentalist and anti-democracy regimes, parties, and organizations in different parts of the world. I come from a land where the Taliban may have gone, but even according to UN rights experts, cycles of violence and abuses are not over. Where depleted uranium and clustered bombs were used against our innocent people. Where according to Human Rights Watch, warlords emerged from Lojirga more powerful than ever. And we are the same warlords dominate the new parliament, which according to some international observers is America. A country where widespread abuse and restrictions on freedom continues. A country, as UN put it, is going to become an anarcho-state under the Northern Alliance drug mafia. New York Times has exposed a number of these drug dealers. And the former Interior Minister has another list of them. And according to Daily Telegraph, February 6th of this year, Habibullah Qadri, Afghanistan's anti-narcotics minister and an European diplomat in Kabul, don't and can't deny the involvement of cabinet ministers and high-ranking politicians close to Mr. Karzai and drug trades in trafficking and misuse of funds given to fight the menace. I come from a country where divested opium farmers and are forced to sell their daughters to cover debts to traffickers. In its January 31st publication, Financial Times says Afghanistan's issue is not an easy issue. It's a country where the government has stopped poor and hungry farmers from growing poppy, but allows the governor of the same province keep dealing in drugs. It's a land that's facing health disaster worse than tsunami. 700 children and 50 to 70 women die on daily basis owing to the lack of health services. Ironically, this is happening in a country that has received $12 billion in aid, while another $10 billion more were pledged at the recent London conference. Even a fraction of this aid has not been used for the benefit and welfare of our people. The warlords in the government, as well as those not siding with the government officials and the NGOs have pocketed big amounts nonetheless. If it's not so, then why is there is no change in the lives of the people? Dr. Ramazan Bashar Dost, a popular MP and former Minister of Planning, is justified in declaring the London conference as meaningless, untimely, and useless. He is justified when he says that even if 1 billion of the aid reaching Afghanistan is spent honestly to benefit people, Afghanistan's future would have changed. I come from a land where Northern Lines gunmen raped 14-year-old Fatima and her mother, an 11-year-old Rahima, and 60-year-old grandmother. A land where 30-year-old Amina was stoned to death, where Nadia Anjuman easily becomes victim of her husband's violence. Because he is sure that he has the support of warlords of the Northern Alliance misogynists, and he knows that there is no law, or at least implementation of law, which might bring him to justice. We are young UN Moscow, kidnapped by gunmen, has to immolate herself to save her honor. We are, despite the presence of more than 6,000 UN peacekeeping troops in Kabul, Kabul City, Clementina Cantuni, and other NGO and UN foreign workers are kidnapped in broad daylight. But the secret behind it was never disclosed to media and the people. I come from a land where our people simply see US bringing a mock democracy. Because democracy in Afghanistan has meant imposition of the Northern Alliance jihadis. These jihadis murdered 65,000 citizens only in Kabul. Democracy there means whitewashing the criminal faces of Taliban. This democracy has merely brought Afghan people out of the pan but into the fire. The US government keeps promising not to repeat its past mistakes, but agonizing truth is that US is committing the same mistake. She is unsparingly supporting the fundamentalists more than ever. USA relies on Northern Alliance, who turned Afghanistan into a hell for its people from 1992 to 1996. Therefore, USA owes serious and official apology to our people for fueling and supporting the most brutal and ignorant fundamentalists. I belong to a land where our people, international human rights organization, in particular Human Rights Watch, and sections of media keep demanding the trial of warlords, drug traffickers, criminal khalqis and parchamis, but not only they are not brought to justice, but shamelessly were offered their higher government positions. They were given opportunity to find way to parliament with the support of US and US allies. It's a country where Chief Justice is an ignorant, medieval-minded man having affiliation with the most horrific and terrorist party of Gulbuddin, once a blue-eyed son of the CIA. His main judicial activity is attacking women rights, stopping TV channels, cable network, and banning music. Afghan people were disgusted indeed at incomparable rigging in the parliamentary elections and were calling it a mockery. But Mr. Karzai incredibly tried to defend the vote rigging by saying, "This is an exercise in democracy. Let them exercise it twice." He was replying to a question that many voters registered multiple and may try to vote more than twice. Will any other country's president justify corruption and treason to democracy in such absurd way? Dear friends, the reality of my country is what I just talked about. Surely you will agree with me and my people that such a country cannot be free and liberated. Therefore, I once more would like to draw your attention on the following points. Dear friends, my wounded country is not free. U.S. bombs and presence of thousands of U.S. troops is not to establish democracy in our country. But as I said earlier, it is only for its own strategic interest, not only in Afghanistan, but also in any other oppressed and fundamentalist blighted country. It's not what I'm saying. U.S. policymakers confess this too. George Kennan says that America was never concerned about the establishment of democracy, and democracy never had any value and any importance in the foreign policy. According to Howard Widrow, democracy is a good mask for our fundamental strategic objectives. I also hope you will seriously consider our warning about the grievous situation Afghanistan is facing under the fundamentalists of Northern Alliance. This situation certainly would prolong our struggle. Dear friends, I won the election with nothing in my hands except my people's trust and love. Today I am a member of the parliament. But let me honestly tell you that if it was not to use the opportunity to expose the true and real nature of all criminal warlords and their puppets as MPs, I even for a moment would not have tolerated this painful experience. I only want to be a voice for my suffering people who were always silenced. I am well aware of all hardships, challenge, threats, and sacrifices I have to confront. But I trust my people. I know they are with me no matter what and who comes my way. I also would like to assure you as sincere friends of Afghan people that I will always defend truth and will not be degraded to the level of those intellectuals and politicians who, because of fear for their lives or their own interests, have made compromise with the enemies of our people and their international and regional supporters. As Brecht said, I don't want to be criminal for not saying the truth. Thank you very much.